Hello, all you Empowered Podcast listeners. Today, Marcus has the opportunity to interview Carrie Ann Wiggins, founder and CEO of Dear Girls Limited, a female personal development program geared towards young women. Her message and goals align very closely with ours, and Marcus and I were really excited to be able to feature her today. She's a very dynamic speaker, and she has this positive energy about her, which I think that you'll pick up on. At one point, she flips the tables on Marcus and starts interviewing him, which I absolutely loved. Carrie Ann has so many great pearls in this podcast that are simple, easy, and effective. For example, stop following social media that makes you feel bad about yourself. Simple. Brilliant. Things we need to be told. We absolutely love it. At one point, Marcus can't help himself and pitches an idea to her to get more men behind the female empowerment movement. I can't blame him. I am just in love with the work that she does, and I'd love to see her do something for 30 and 40-year-old women too. Carrie Ann, you're fabulous. You have great ideas. Keep doing this work. We absolutely love you. Before I hand it over to Marcus, I just wanted to give a shout out for our music, which was written and performed by She, spelled SH3, and produced by Android Beats. You can check them out on our website. This podcast is sponsored by Femme Apparel. We believe in gender equality and use thought-provoking messaging to bring attention to gender disparity and to challenge the status quo to be more inclusive and equal. And with that, I'll hand it over to Marcus.
Hi.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. What's the weather like over there?
It's really nice and warm, actually. We're about 25 degrees Celsius.
Okay. Yeah, it's all right here. It's a bit windy, but it's okay.
Well, what's the temperature?
I'm actually not sure. I've only been out once today. I'm going out a bit later, so...
What time is it there right now? 6:30?
Yeah, 6:30.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's great to meet you.
You too. I'm excited.
Good. Now, I just want to make sure, how do you pronounce your name? I don't want to get it wrong.
Carrie Ann.
Carrie Ann. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, perfect. Yeah, great. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for doing this. Thanks for taking some time on a Sunday evening to chat with me and talk about what you're doing. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
So let's just get right into it. So you are the founder and I guess CEO of Dear Girls Limited, right?
Yes, I am.
And it's a company that helps prevent mental health issues in 18 to 25 year olds. That's what you said, right?
Yes, females, yeah.
Female. Okay, so specifically females. Okay. What was the inspiration for you starting this organization?
Yeah, so I was literally laying on my bed and I was speaking to a friend who was going through some issues, and I realized that I was going through similar issues as well. So I said to her, how come females go through things and we don't express it or we don't share our stories? And it's kind of like we feel separated when really and truly we are similar in so many ways. So I decided to create a platform that, you know, can express how females are feeling, can bond us as well, and also provide solutions, practical psychological solutions that can help people that are suffering with different types of issues in their life, really. So yeah, I think it stemmed from a place of pain, I would say, but to bring joy and peace and contentment in different people's lives.
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2018, so the 24th of August.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Very specific memory then.
Yeah, I had to put our taxes and stuff like that in. So that's why it's quite, you know, clear in my head at the moment.
So did you, prior to this conversation, was this an area, mental health specifically, that you were always interested in or had some kind of a connection to? Or was this like really the springboard into this area?
No, so I studied psychology, but before that I studied sociology, and I think you know, that was, I guess, GCSE time, so secondary school for us. I was studying sociology and I realized that, okay, I like sociology, but I like psychology more because I like the way that it, you know, describes the mind, it tells you about people's behaviors, and I really love to understand how people behave and why. So I think it stemmed from that. And then Dear Girls came about because I like organizing. I'm very organized, but I like organizing with purpose. So with Dear Girls, you know, our events are a bit more focused on emotion, but focused on happiness, bringing people together. It's not just, I guess, for any kind of reason or just to have fun. We have a purpose behind everything that we do. So I wanted to link psychology, what I'm studying, and also a business that could last for the rest of my life and also make me happy whilst helping people. I think, you know, that's where the link came in.
So are you done your studies now?
No, so I'm going into my final year of university, doing my undergrad, and then I'll do my master's after that as well.
Oh, okay. Wow, good for you. Quite the different year, isn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy. I don't even know how the system's going to be when I get back to university.
I don't think anybody does yet at this point, unfortunately. So do you feel that this is an area that is underserved?
Underserved, I would say yes. In terms of my brand, I would say it's under positive psychology, more about well-being. I know there's a lot of mental health institutions or organizations that want to, you know, help people that are suffering with mental health issues, but there's not really a lot to do with preventing mental health. You know, there's things out there, but people are not aware. I realize, you know, if you say to someone, okay, you can do this for negative thinking, they'll be like, I didn't even know I could do these things. They think that negative thinking is just a normal part of life. And I wanted to, you know, raise awareness that, you know, although we're going through things, there's ways around it to reduce. You know, life is hard. Even in coronavirus now, we can see that life can come at you in different ways, but there's a way to still be happy, to still be peaceful, to still have contentment in your life, although bad things and negative situations are happening around you.
Do you think it's a fair statement to say that discussions and assistance around mental health is more of a reactive versus a proactive? Because it sounds like you're taking a proactive stance.
Definitely. I was speaking to someone, you know, the other day, and they were saying, you know, I want to create preventive medicine. And I was like, wow, that's what I want to do. Not in terms of medicine, but in terms of my brand. I want to prevent things. Why do we have to wait until it's too late? You know, we go to the gym because you want to be healthy. You don't want to have it too late before, you know, your whole body's breaking down. You want to make sure you're preventing so you can have a happy life and enjoy the things you want to achieve and, you know, enjoy the success that you're going to be granted with. So I think definitely I'm a bit more proactive, even in my personal life as well. If I have an idea, I think, you know, you should execute it, plan and execute. Don't just sit on things, you know, try to, you know, be ready and active with things.
Do you or have you found that because there's still a stigma attached to mental health, has it been difficult for you from your business's standpoint to make a case for people to invest in proactive mental health measures? Because we don't like to talk about it a lot of times when it's bad, never mind when we're not dealing with something. So is that a barrier to entry for your business in any way?
I would say definitely. It's like you're bringing all the questions that I've literally been speaking about just recently, because a lot of people don't think anything is wrong. I was even saying to a friend, you know, a lot of millionaires or famous people, they go to counseling, and you might not think something is wrong. It doesn't mean just because you go to counseling, something is wrong with you. It's just to maintain. And I think that's what people need to learn to do, maintain or gain, you know, a stable mental health rather than wait until it's too late. But I do think a lot of people feel like it's not, you know, it doesn't relate to them. You know, they're okay, they're normal for now until something bad happens when it might be too late for that person.
So what would you say in that instance to overcome that objection?
I think for me personally, would be listening to the experiences of others, you know, learn from them. Just because you don't feel like you're not okay, it doesn't mean you're okay. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think people should just kind of wake up to the experience of other people and relate it to their own situations and realize that it could be them. So if they can do something about it now, they should. you know, maintain the healthy space that they're in so that, you know, they're fighting against things that haven't even come yet.
And is Dear Girls Limited exclusively yours, or do you have a business partner?
So I did have a business partner in the beginning, but not anymore. So it is solely me now.
That was okay. And talk a little bit about how it is balancing being a student while trying to grow your own brand and business, because your social presence is strong. You definitely looks like you've experienced some growth. So just talk a little bit about that dynamic, because it's impressive.
Thank you. It's not easy. It's not easy. Some days my eyes hurt. I'm just like, I've got to take a break now. I think in terms, because I'm on my placement year, it has allowed a lot of growth, because, you know, I'm not doing a lot of studying at this time. I had a few assignments, but not many. So I did have a bit more time to, you know, expand the business, to grow it, to network, connect with people, and just kind of think about the needs of my audience as well. I think that did help. But I do other things as well. Like, you know, I have a book. So I wrote a book. I do speaking, I do singing as well. So I have to balance them different aspects of my life, which is quite difficult. But I think taking time out and having a set schedule. So let's say, you know, Monday to Friday, I only do Dear Girl stuff. And then the other days I can do more personal things, just to balance my life a bit more. But I do enjoy it. So it doesn't feel like a chore. That helps me to get things done as well, because I'm loving it so much. I'm speaking to people, connecting. It just feels like it's my own, like it's me literally speaking to them, not Dear Girls. And I think people might feel that as well, you know, that they're speaking to Carrie Ann, not the founder of Dear Girls LTD.
So walk us through what a typical product or service that you offer is, just so the audience can understand exactly, you know, what your process and product is.
So we're really an events company. We do events, female empowerment events. So that's normally based in Birmingham. I think our first event was where we had different speakers, and they came and they spoke about direction and purpose. So we have like girls come in and they'll just, you know, get a drink, get a few bites, and we'll start doing networking, like networking topics and stuff like that, and we'll speak, and then the speakers will come in. But we also have merchandise as well. So this is an example of an affirmation t-shirt that we have. We have different ones, and they all stem from my ebook. So the idea behind the t-shirts is that, you know, sometimes we're going through different stages of our lives, and we want words that really reflect that. And then also we want to wear positive things on our external body rather than just working on our mind as well. So it's kind of to link both areas of your life. Okay, so internally and externally, you can be positive in every angle that you turn. Another service that we do is mentorship. So a lot of mentorship programs, they focus on goals, you know, okay, how can I get you from this point to this point? But with our mentorship, we talk about, you know, mindset, more well-being, because I do believe that, you know, for you to receive the success that you're trying to gain, you have to be in a place to receive it. And I think that starts within the mind. So I mentor people to do with their mindset and just how they can reach their goals by kind of backtracking, rather than thinking about, okay, I want to achieve this. How can I achieve it? What is the barriers that are stopping me from achieving it? And then just breaking them down slowly so that, you know, it's actually an attainable goal. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. So is your revenue derived from the participants pay a fee to come to the event, or do you charge sponsorship through companies that want to get in front of the audience?
So no, they do buy tickets. Our workshops are free, because I do believe in giving. I'm quite, you know, that kind of person that just wants to give back. Plus our students are very young, and I know, being a student, how you want to go to somewhere but you don't have the money. So a lot of our workshops are free. I did get a lot of funding from like banks and my university as well. So that did cover a lot of expenses and allowed the events to still be free for some people that just can't afford it.
That's awesome. It's really awesome that you're doing a lot of that stuff for free to help, especially now. Like now, I'm sure if you do a lot of your web stuff, that's probably really popular and really helpful.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of Instagram lives, but I haven't done any, you know, webinars, which I'm going to start doing soon.
Awesome. So in your opinion, and based on what you've seen and when you speak with people, what is the number one mental health issue that you've seen in young women aged 18 to 25 or just before that 18-year-old age?
I think anxiety. Anxiety, definitely. I guess it can stem into depression as well, but I would say definitely anxiety is the number one, I guess, illness, I would say, that is coming to the forefront a lot more in the age group that I'm dealing with, definitely.
And what do you think is driving that anxiety?
I think it's a lot of it is social media. You know, we're in a social age. We're in a social age where a lot of the things that we see is due to, you know, our phones, you know, online, what we see people posting, and we can constantly compare ourselves. I think, you know, recently I've been writing what my audience are kind of struggling with. And I think, you know, in the middle, I would say insecurities is the main thing. And that can go deeper into like self-confidence issues or, you know, comparing yourself to other people or just self-doubt. And there's so many reasons, I guess, for each individual why they feel insecure. But I think it makes them feel very anxious, and that can lead to results such as not starting a business that they want to start, or not going to university, or not going to a certain event because they feel shy or scared about certain outcomes. So I think, yeah, anxiety is definitely a big thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought you would probably hone in on the social media thing. You know, right now we launched our company during a pandemic. Now is actually the greatest time to roll something out. But so we've been spending a ton of time engaging with our audience, and we've met wonderful people like yourself. And definitely a theme that we've noticed is the fakeness of Instagram versus the reality of life, and the unrealistic expectation to look like this when it's camera angles, it's lighting, it's editing, it's, you know, sucking in, it's flexing, it's not everyday reality. And there's been, we've just noticed a real sort of almost like a kickback against that starting, which is nice to see. Like we see a lot of people now posting, like, this is our real life picture. Like, this is me when I like try to look really good. And then this is me just every day. And I think that it's important that we make that distinction. And you can maybe speak to that if you want, but I'd imagine that you're probably seeing the disconnect between reality and what we see online being a huge driver of anxiety.
No, I can definitely agree with you. I think to kind of go on the back of that, at the same time, you know, it depends on who you're following, because Instagram creates an algorithm based on what you're interested in. So I think, you know, I have two pages. I have my personal page and the Dear Girls page. And on my personal, I see a lot of different content, you know, based on what you're saying, it would kind of fit that angle. But on Dear Girls page, I see just empowerment. Literally every post is just empowerment. And maybe that's the community that I've created around me. But I think it just shaped my mind in a different way and affect me differently, which is why I kind of use Dear Girls more when I go on Instagram than my own personal account, because it's just more positive and it doesn't affect me as negatively as well.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, you're right. It is, you see what you're interested in, but that can be a hard cycle to break. All right, I'd imagine, especially if you're not in a good place at a certain point in time, and it's still always bombarding you.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's not easy. I think, you know, as maybe, you know, a practical tip would be to, you know, go on a positive page and just follow the pages that they're following. You know, delete the pages that are not making you feel good. If they don't make you feel good, I think definitely delete them. It's not an easy process, as you're saying, but it's something that is needed, you know, for you to feel good, for you to be in a mental space that is positive and healthy for yourself. So that might be a practical tip for anyone that's, you know, dealing with that.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. Can you explain to me in your bio, can you explain to me what this means? You're a mind-triggering author and blogger. What does mind-triggering mean?
I think I always say that my writing is for higher minds. That doesn't mean that anyone is lower, but it just means that you have to be ready to, you know, delve deep, to trigger, to allow yourself to be triggered, really. In terms of that statement, I feel that my writing explores different avenues. I think that it really does speak about the different perspectives. I'm quite a critical thinker, so if I write something, it does kind of take you on a journey. It makes you think about this angle, this path, and then another path within one sentence. That's how, well, that's my point. And I think a lot of people have told me that that's how they feel when they read my writing as well. So I think, you know, that is what I meant by that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Do you find when you're dealing, or not dealing, but when you're helping the young women that you're working with, that there's a hesitancy to open up about the issues? And if so, why do you think that is? What is it that is causing people to hold back from wanting to properly discuss what's going on?
I think I would say it's 50-50. I think people, when they do approach me, they are quite open, to be honest. Maybe it's because of the type of page, you know, setup that we have already is quite open. A lot of things, I do share a lot of myself, so maybe people feel comfortable, you know, confiding in me, because, you know, they might feel that there's a level of trust even though we haven't even met. I think maybe people feel a bit reluctant to open up because of fear of judgment. A lot of people, especially on social media, you're so judgmental, and it's all about showing your best self. And when you're coming to someone to express how something's gone wrong, or you feel a certain way, or you feel low, that is a direct contradiction to that, okay, I need to show my best self. So I think that can definitely be a fear factor.
For your workshops, are they female only, or are men are allowed to attend as well?
Female only.
Okay.
I think the reason that is because we want it to be an open environment, and, you know, some females just might not feel comfortable.
Right, right. Down the road, is there any thought to maybe, as you grow and expand, doing an equivalent, but for men, but maybe for men, it can go, I'm thinking one of two ways. One, you offer the same service, right, where they can help with their mental health, get help with their mental health, or maybe an educational component for how gender bias exists that they may not be aware of and how that impacts their female counterparts. I don't know if that's something you've ever considered or if you've come across that.
Yes, no, I do want to start. I don't know what to call it yet. Maybe Dear Man Them or Dear Boys. I'm not too sure. Dear Men. I'm not too sure. But there's definitely going to be a male version of Dear Girls. Only because I believe in males as well. I don't think because I do one, I don't have to believe in the other, which it might come across as that.
But no, I really it doesn't, believe. By the way. It doesn't.
I do believe in both. I just wanted to target one at a time. And I don't want to mix the two either because they're so different. I think it would just be, you know, very difficult to balance the two. Rather, I want to just focus on one and then the other.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, that's smart. And yeah, you never came across as not, you know, liking the male side of it, but it's interesting because they're very similar, but then there's a lot of differences, right? Like the stuff that we've seen and with other people we've spoken to, one of the big things is that men or boys sometimes believe that they're not supposed to show vulnerability, right? And so then you bury all those feelings and then they manifest in how you treat your partners or women sometimes in general in the future. And so there's probably a lot of work that needs to be done there to unpack that, you know, weird societal pressure on boys.
Yeah, definitely. But it's quite interesting that you're a male and you're fourth amazing, but I kind of wanted to know, you know, where do you stand? Why do you do what you do?
The motivation primarily is I have two daughters from a previous marriage, They're both still under 10 years of age, so they're young, but now that they're in school and they're interacting and I see more of what their life is like outside of our house, you can just start to see some of these dynamics already come into play. And I've always been, I've never understood toxic male culture. Like, I've never understood why men would seemingly make fun of females or talk them down in an effort to bond with the boys or to sound more manly. Like, it's never jived with me. You know, I'm sure way back in the day, I've probably made those jokes. We probably all unfortunately made one version or another of those jokes when we were hanging out with our friends when we were teenagers. Like, I wouldn't say that that probably hasn't happened. But as I got older and I was in positions of responsibility in various jobs that I've had, leadership positions, I've never understood why we would exclude one half of the population from opportunity and their skill set and abilities simply because of their gender. And now, being the father of two young girls, I would hate it if their future prospects were ever limited simply because they have uteruses, right? And so, and now my wife, my wife now, who's also my business partner in this venture, she's a physician in a very male dominated sector. And so she's had to go through a lot of struggles to get there. And so that was obviously inspiring. And so it was kind of like, it all kind of came together and we were kind of like, you know, we want to build something, the two of us as well. We wanted to create some kind of a company. And I was like, well, why don't we marry these two things? We both very strongly feel about female empowerment and gender equality. And I have motivation for my wife and I have motivation for my two girls. And once I started personally digging into it, it's like, it's stunning. As a man, you don't realize it, and I'll be the first to admit it, it's stunning how many different types of biases are out there that are designed to keep women down. And the impact it has on them, and just the sheer loss that society has through the exclusion of females is staggering. And so, you know, you can either be part of the solution, or I guess you could be part of the problem. And I don't want to be part of the problem, so we're just trying to do our little bit to further that agenda. So sorry, that was kind of like my long rant on
why we did it. I love it.
But there's so much to learn. Like, I'm sure I still make mistakes, and I try to be like very, very cognizant of what I'm saying, what I'm speaking in these situations, not because I'm worried about, you know, its reflection on the company, but I don't want to be insensitive or, you know, triggering or anything like that when speaking with somebody, but it's been a phenomenal learning experience.
Well, I think it's amazing. You know, as you're saying, being a man and doing something like this, I don't really see that. I've never seen it, honestly. Maybe I just don't know the right people that are doing it, but I have not come across it. And when I did realize that you're a man, I was like, this is amazing. We need more males to stand up as well for females.
Oh, well, thank you. And that's part of it too. Like, I just think, like, maybe being a man, I can show, even if it's just one other person, show other guys that it's okay to stand up for women and it's okay to have these discussions, right? And that's, I'm not trying to sound like a super important person, but I just think that the more of us that talk about this, the more it'll just become acceptable, right? And that's, I think, ultimately what we want to achieve. And it's been great. And there's been situations where I was speaking with somebody yesterday, another amazing woman working in the gender equality space, and she thought the same thing. She thought that when originally we were speaking on Instagram, that she was speaking to a woman. And then she laughed and she's like, well, that just goes to show that even on it, the flip side is that women can have an unconscious bias as well and just automatically assume something, right? And she's like, so it's a learning experience for everybody and you're never going to be 100% right. But as long as you can recognize these things and learn from them, that's really the takeaway that we want to give to everybody.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, thanks. That was, thanks for giving me that little soapbox there to stand on. So,
I always ask questions.
No, I love it. This is the point, right? We want to have conversations. So what's next for Dear Girls Limited? Is your master's program a 2-year program?
I haven't really decided yet. So I think it'll be 1 or 2.
Okay, so what's next for Dear Girls? Because obviously you have to finish your schooling, right? But then what is your 5 and like 10 year goal for your company?
So one is I want to be recognized all over the world, literally. I was supposed to go to Ghana in March, but obviously because of Corona, I couldn't. But I was supposed to go to help the less fortunate. And I really want to have Dear Girls all over the world helping, you know, helping in different issues that we talked about, but also just in physical needs. You know, a lot of people can't, as I was saying before, you can't, you know, get success if you have barriers in front of you. So I want to eliminate barriers such as, you know, lack of food, lack of clean water, just the necessary things that we need to survive. So I want to go on different mission trips and just help females all over the world. And also empower them, educate them as well, just to help them reach their goals, wherever it is, wherever they are. So that's one of the goals. And also I want to have a well-being center. So I used to cook, like, you know, a little chef, I would say. So I want to have a well-being center that is kind of like a spa, but it has like an event space as well, because during my earlier stages of the business, I did struggle to get a lot of venue spaces due to just lack of funding. So I want to create a space that females can use for free, that would eliminate that barrier, that problem. And also want to have, you know, food, a spa there, and just have a safe place for them to get counseling if they need as well. But just a whole center where everything is in one place, so that is just accessible and easy for them to use, really. So that's my five-year plan.
Oh, that's an amazing goal.
Thank you. Hopefully, with all the studying, I'm trying to balance everything. I think that's something that is one of my big goals as well, just balancing everything so I can achieve still and still be happy and have a personal life. Because you don't want to be overwhelmed, you know what I mean? You want to still live your life, but still help people.
So, well, that's true. And they always say you can't, if you're not happy with yourself, you can't help somebody else be happy with themselves, right? So you always need to start with the self and then go from there. Do you think that your schooling with the psychology and then with the master's coming, that helps you in your business? And do you think that it gives you more credibility?
Definitely. I believe that you should only speak on what you know. That doesn't mean that you have to get a master's to speak, or you have to have a piece of paper to qualify you. But I do think you need to research before you advise people, before you get on a platform and speak, because you might be saying the wrong thing. And especially with psychological areas, there's a lot of triggering things that you can say that can actually traumatize someone. I would never want to be the reason why someone is in a worse place than before, only because I lacked knowledge. So I think definitely my master's will help. And my degree has helped as well. And I just love what I'm doing. So I think the two of the passion and the knowledge put together is going to be a combo that nobody can really say anything to.
Absolutely. I mean, I can just see it and hear it in your voice that you love what you do. And that alone is like 90% of what you need in order to be successful. So I have no doubt that you're going to do big things once you have all the time to dedicate to it. So that's awesome. What would your advice be to a young girl just finishing up high school, 16, 17, 18 year old, about to go on to the next phase in the journey of life? What advice would you have for them so that they're prepared to be able to handle the pressures of the world while staying true to themselves?
I would really, you know, emphasize on this point that you need to do what's right for you. A lot of people go to university, for example, because of their parents or because of pressure, mm-hmm. or because they feel like they can't reach their goals without it. And I don't believe that is true. You know, you can do anything you want to do. If you want to do an apprenticeship, you can. If you want to start your own venture, you can. And I think that you should put yourself before others and what they expect of you. But you should also have high standards for yourself. You know, you can't do anything if you don't have high standards for yourself, because it's like you're not going to achieve your full potential. And I believe in pushing people, you know, to achieve in what they really can do. So I would definitely say that is like my number one advice. Just do what makes you happy. And I think if I knew that before, I maybe would have even started this way before, because I was thinking, oh, people are going to think this. Or I made a video the other day saying that, you know, when I'm doing Dear Girls, I think the quotes are so personal to me. I literally think of them like the day before, and I just write and I take some quotes from what I've written. And I feel like, oh my gosh, people are looking at me and thinking this and thinking that. But I had to ask myself, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it because I care about what other people think, or because I want to help them? And if I want to help people, regardless of the outcomes or what they say, I still need to do what I need to do. And if that means posting a quote, then I need to post a quote. And I think that's just become a habit in me now, to understand that, okay, I'm going to have to do things that, you know, make me feel anxious, that make me question myself. But it's like your why is your driving factor. So that might be my another advice as well, just to make your why be the reason why you do things and push yourself further as well.
Awesome. Yeah, great advice. Before we wrap up, tell everybody what you're working on now, where people can find Dear Girls. Tell us what you're doing in the next little while if somebody's looking to find you.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing a lot of webinars due to, you know, just being on lockdown at the moment. So we're going to do webinars on self-confidence, on just how to create a brand, you know, the ups and the downs of businesses, like especially female businesses as well. So do look out for that. We're also doing a mentorship program. So you don't have to be in the UK. You can be literally anywhere as long as you can connect to Zoom. We can do one-on-one sessions, just, you know, work on your mindset and just help you be in the place that you want to be in, really. I really believe in females. Hopefully you've got that from this chat. But if you don't believe me, you can just book a free consultation and we can just have a chat, get to know each other, build a relationship and help you achieve your goals. So we're on Instagram at DearGirlsLTD. We're on Twitter, Snapchat, and you can email us as well. So yeah.
Awesome. And we'll make sure to put all those, link to all those in the show notes on YouTube and our Instagram, and we'll put the podcast out as well so people can find it there. But this has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're actually so amazing.
Oh, I think what you're doing is amazing too. Like this whole community is once you really get into like the female empowerment and gender equality community, there's so many people doing amazing, amazing things, and yeah, there's space for all of us, and we need all of us, right? So it's been great. Carrie-Ann, thank you so, so very much for taking time on your Sunday evening to speak with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoy the rest of your weather.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye.